Good evening. We're going to go ahead and get started with our service tonight with some singing. And I know in anticipation of the message tonight, Psalm 103, I mentioned this morning, if I had to say, people ask you, what's your favorite passage? That's a hard answer. It's hard. There's a lot of them, you know. But for me, I guess that would be my go-to, at least. I just love that. Love that psalm, and I think of assurance, of reminders of what truths that are there, the benefits that we had that it lists. So I'm interested in hearing tonight's message, just another take on it. But along that same line, just assurance and hope is in the Lord. And so I'm going to start with number 406. My hope is in the Lord. And if you want to mark it, we'll do 345 after that as blessed assurance. Somebody remind me if I forget. Page number, can't mark it. But dog here. Blessed assurance. 345. It's in all three verses. That's what you know.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Washed in His blood, this is my
back this evening and looking forward to hearing the second half of the message. My Uncle Ron used to do all of his messages that way when he was pastoring, and we always would complain because we'd go down and visit and then we'd have to leave in the afternoon to head back home, and we never got to hear the second half of his messages. But I'm thankful that we get to be here for this part and get to hear the second half of the message here. So, starting off with several announcements we want to draw your attention to. One, the first one, I didn't mention this morning, I forgot to, but we want to say thank you as a staff for all of the Christmas gifts and the love and the encouraging notes that we received. It is truly an honor and a privilege and a joy to serve this body, and we thank you for your generosity during that time to give us not only financial, but the, like I said, the notes and the encouragement as well. A couple other ministries happening. January is a busy time around here as we get kicked off with other ministries. Next week we'll be starting off with community groups. If you are not a part of a community group, we strongly encourage you to do so. A lot of body life happens there, and we want to make sure that you're a part of those. We have four groups that you can be a part of. One meets at our house at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. We typically go out to eat, or we go grab food to go and come home. We don't provide food and have a big meal together, but if you want to grab your food to go and eat with us, that's fine. And then we start our discussion and do our community group part at 1 o'clock. Joe Gully and Ray Brown lead a group that meets at 1:30 on Sundays, and they're the same way. Go and get your own food, eat that, and then be there for community groups. And that one, does it primarily meet at one or the other, or is it trade back and forth? Primarily at the Gully's house, and then they'll have some changes there from time to time. And then there's an online version, online group that meets through Zoom, and John Hurley and Randy Mullins leads that. That's at 4 o'clock and on Sunday afternoons. That's a great opportunity for those who are out of town, or if you are apart, if you can't, due to health reasons, be out because of COVID or multiple different ways that multiple different people that could serve. So if you want to be a part of that, see Randy or John or myself, and I'll get you the information. They use a different Zoom link than the church one, so we want to make sure you have that available to you. And then Ed Ruggles, Ed and Cindy host one at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. And they have that at their house with some dessert and coffee, and a great time to not only gather together and discuss the morning service, but the application of that, and then be able to just invest in one another's lives to see what's happening in each other's lives, to pray for each other, to help minister to each other, and encourage one another through those groups. And so we want you to be a part of those, and if you have any more questions about those, please let me know or see one of the group leaders, and they'd be glad to help you out with those. Also coming up on the 19th is Kids Club starting back up. So not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. We'll be excited to see all the kids running around here. I love to see lots of kids running around and learning about the scriptures, learning about Jesus, and Lord impacting their lives. And we're thankful for that. Where's Adam at? Adam, anything you want to mention about Kids Club kicking back off?
Yeah, so Kids Club will run, like you said, January 19th through the end of April. We need a couple of things. We need prayer. Pray for wisdom for the volunteers. Pray for growth for the volunteers and the kids. Pray that we would share the word properly and safety. But we also need group leaders. So if you're not familiar with Kids Club, we'll have a presenter come teach, and then we do a breakout session after that, and we'll break into smaller groups. So we need some group leaders that help lead and facilitate discussion based on the teaching and the presentation. So you won't be teaching, you just need to kind of help facilitate that. So we need group leaders. We need men. We like to separate boys and girls. And we'd like to have men lead the boys' groups, and sometimes that's a struggle. So if you'd be willing and able to do that, we pray about that this evening. Yeah, I think that's it.
Good Yeah. Thank you, Adam, and the rest of the team for your labor of love there, going and ministering with our kids. Next is CDT training. I want to draw your attention to that. That's starting off on January 17th. And you got brochures here. We've made several announcements about those, about this training. We have brochures here that you can grab from the Connect Center tables and give out to as many people as you come in contact with. We recommend this for everyone, the training, and then if the Lord works in your heart to then go ahead and pursue certification to be involved in that, the active counseling side of it, that's fantastic, and we're praying to that end. But we recommend everyone go through this just to learn the scriptures, learn what the scriptures say about the issues of life and what's happening in life, and just the I know personally going through that part of it, the growth that happens through there is just a great, valuable resource there. It's also available online. Dave, is it? You mentioned Wednesday it will be on Facebook. Is it through our live stream or is it through Zoom? Last year you did through Zoom.
It's going to be live stream. As far as I know, that's basically a convenience for people that might have trouble getting here if they're a regular member.
Okay.
So if you want to be, if you want this towards certification, you need to come here to the live event. But anybody that wants to watch some of the sessions, there's no closed doors here. I mean, that's open to anybody to come and sit and listen. You don't have to come to the whole thing to listen to any of those. And you can tune into Facebook and listen just like you would on Wednesday night service or another service. So. All the above. But if you want to study for certification, you need to come and enroll and be a part of the discipline piece where you're here the whole time.
Thank you for that clarification. Also, we try to get the topics for that are coming up that next Monday out on Sunday. So if you have a particular topic that you are interested in or you want refreshed on, that's a good way to kind of identify nights to come and evenings to be able to be a part of that. Another housekeeping thing with that, we do provide snacks and some food. It's a long night for those who do come. Typically, they're coming straight from work. And so there's a note on our announcements, either on our sheet in the back or on the email, to contact Pam Bruns, and she'll help organize some of those sandwiches and desserts and things of that nature. The winter camps are coming up, and also Rekindle Marriage Retreat. We want to make sure encourage the camp by participating in those. There's, I believe, two different dates, February 4th through the 6th for the marriage conference, and February 11th through the 13th. Those are both dates there. Two individual conferences, you pick one or the other and attend those. Those are always a great time. It's amazing that outside your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with your spouse is the number one thing, number one priority in our lives. And statistics will tell you, based on anywhere you look, that that's probably one of the least things that we work on. And so we need to spend time working on those. And then also winter camps coming up, a whole slew of those, four different options. Douglas, I know, is going to be working to gather, get a team together for the junior high and senior high side of it, and we'll get more information out to you about the junior revolution side of it as well. Other thing is summer camp signups have begun. We're thankful that we get to have summer camp this year and send the kids off to summer camp in a little traditional, normal way. And there is a discount if you register before the end of January, I believe. Is that correct, camp staff? So I think there is a discount there. So you want to make sure you draw your attention to that. Any other announcements of ministries and things happening that we want to make sure we draw our attention to? Yeah.
Clarity. You definitely need the ladies too. So I know I focused on men, but definitely can use some ladies.
We will take help. Good. Any others? Announcements? All right, good. Just continue. Lots of opportunities here. We want to make sure that we continue to minister and stay faithful to God's word and be the light of Christ to those around us in all different types of contexts as we seek to make disciples. Let's transition now. Any prayer requests that we want to keep in mind as we go to the Lord for prayer today? know we all have things on our hearts that may not be for the whole public, but we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we all carry burdens, and we want to continue to do that together. So let's pray, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to gather together and to be a part of the family of God. You don't save us and then let us roam this earth as lone rangers, but rather you draw us together in a community, a group of people that we can do life with, that we can be sharpened, that we can be edified, that we can be encouraged, we can be challenged, and that we can see growth and have a purpose for living for the kingdom of the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for these times that we get to gather together. And I thank you for the way that you've blessed Wheelersburg Baptist Church with the group of people that you have brought to us as members and visitors, and also the building that you have blessed us with, and so much work that that's gone into that, especially over this past year. And Lord, I just pray that we don't take any of that for granted. Lord, with those who have much responsibility is expected. Lord, I pray that we don't get comfortable just coming and doing, but rather we would think through and be sensitive to the Spirit's leading as we seek to know Christ and make Christ known and to be a light in Wheelersburg and the surrounding community and worldwide, Lord. And I just pray that through the different avenues that we have to make disciples, that we would continue to do that and to use the gifts that you have given us to make much of our Savior. Lord, we know there's several who can't be here with us right now due to health reasons and due to COVID and due to other just circumstances in life. And that's difficult and it's hard to do life that way. I pray that you would just work in this body, continue to do so, that we would reach out to those people, that we would help them to feel connected and to know that they have not been forgotten, that we pray for them, that we love them, that they are still a vital part of this body. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to do that. Encourage those people, even today. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow them just to feel the connection to Wheelersburg Baptist Church this week in some way. Lord, we thank you for the way that you continue to provide this church with unity and an opportunity to just worship together and to serve together, Lord. Lord, we know that there's others who that are fighting physical ailments, and Lord, we just pray that you would just help them to continue to walk faithfully, looking to you. And Lord, we know that you've provided us with great medical knowledge, and just we trust those professionals, and we walk faithfully and wisely in those, Lord. But Lord, we also know that you are the great physician, and we pray that you would just continue to work in mighty ways and continue to meet needs and to see people be healed, if that your will. Regardless of the outcome, Lord, we pray that all of our people who are facing these ailments would make much of you through it, that they would display a hope that is out of this world, and then be able to give a defense for the hope that is in them. Lord, we thank you again for tonight and the opportunity we have to open your word. And we pray that we would all have soft hearts, and that we would have eyes to see the truth, and that the Spirit would take the truth spoken tonight and go to work in our lives as we grow in our sanctification. We ask this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.
All right. Second Sundays are a special day for us. We have communion on second Sundays, either in the morning or in the evening services. Today was in the morning. Second Sundays, we also have an evening service, and it's our church family service, so where we can do the horizontal things, talk about what's going on in ministries and people and so forth. Sunday morning is the worship service, very vertical. We try to not do a lot of talking about things that are very important, but we have a different focus Sunday morning. So I love what just happened. You're hearing what's going on in the church and ministries and so forth. What makes all that possible is God's provided financially. So we have our business meeting in the evening on second Sundays, and we have two items to talk about tonight. One is accounting through the financial report that was distributed as you came in. Welcome to those watching online as well, but we're thankful for God's provision. You'll see this is the report for the December. It's also the report for the whole year, so you can see the big picture of what happened. And 280,000 came in, 288,000 went out. But when you compare that to budget, 280,000 came in, the budgeted need was 213,000. The giving was way above budget. That enabled us to be able to do a lot of what you see in that second row there, that 84,973 was non-budgeted expenses for the year. Carpet, equipment in the back for our technology. We were able to do some wonderful things. That's why we overspent income, just because we were able to do that with the extra gifts. So grateful for God's provision for the year, and what a wonderful year it was financially. So, but tonight we give an accounting of that. A combined board meets on the second Sunday, so we just had our meeting reviewing all of this, and we bring it to you now. If you're so inclined, we'll need a motion and a second to approve the financial report, and then we'll have any discussion that you have about that. Someone like to make a motion? Gary Storm with the motion, and is there a second to that? Fox Etta with the second. Any discussion, questions, or comments? All right. Just a hearty amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's proceed to a vote then on this motion to approve the financial report. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. That motion carries. Then just one informational item. As I mentioned, the combined board just met, and we've organized for the year. The two chairmen of deacons this year, chairman will be Dave Beam. The chairman of the trustees will be Randy Rumble. We have six deacons serving this year and five trustees, which make up our combined board, along with the Randy Rumble. Randy Rumble hasn't been around here a long time. Randy Mullins, thank you for that correction. Yeah, that's good, Joe. Thank you. Boy, where were we at the ranch? Let's see. Anyway, thank you for the team that's serving. The wonderful team God's put together at the combined board level. Good. Thus adjourns our business meeting for the night. Let's take our Bibles now, and I'm excited to move to the second part of the message from this morning. If you, most of us, I look around, we're here this morning, but if you weren't here, if you're watching online and we're here, we're doing a message today, two-part message, that will help us this year. I've been really challenged by three words from the Psalms. The words are, "Oh my soul." The importance of talking to ourselves in specific ways as we enter and live their lives this coming year. We took time this morning to look at those words carefully. Oh, a word that puts intensity, focus into our thinking. My, a very personal thing to do. This is between me and me. I'm talking to my soul. Oh, my soul, the real person. Who am I? And we see six different passages in the Psalms where the psalmist is doing just that. He is speaking to himself. He is saying, "Oh, my soul," and doing so in specific ways. We're called upon, as the psalmist models for us, to talk to the Lord, "Oh my God," and eventually to talk to other people, oh people of Zion. But in order to do that, we have to talk to ourselves, "Oh my soul." And I mentioned just sort of a way to think about this. If we talk to ourselves too much, people might put us in a straitjacket. But if we fail to talk to ourselves, we put ourselves in a straitjacket. The importance of talking to ourselves as we respond to life's challenges. We must talk to ourselves in specific ways. I mentioned this morning, as we looked at the first passage, which is Psalm 42 and 43, that we need to talk to ourselves when life is hard. With that in mind, let me pray as we now come to the Word of God tonight. Father, I thank You for the opportunity again to stand here and open Your Word with this dear congregation. And I am insufficient for this, always am, and thankful to acknowledge that to you, because you have promised to work through those who ask. And I'm asking that you would take my lips, the words that come from my mouth, allow them to be true and accurate to your word. Allow them to be edifying to this congregation. Allow us together, having invested this time together, to come out of this time better prepared to take advantage of this grace that you've given to us, these three words, as we enter into this new year. And we'll be able to look back and say, oh my soul, thank you. Thank you, oh my God, for how you have used this investment of time in a way that will matter for eternity. So take this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at Psalm 42 and saw that we need to talk to ourselves when life is hard. I need to ask myself why I'm downcast and tell myself to hope in God and remind myself that I will again praise the God who is my salvation. One of the ways I have found it helpful to talk to myself is by singing the words that need to be said, and particularly these psalms. And Psalm 42 has that three verses and then the refrain between the three verses, so that is mentioned three times. And I found it helpful to just sing this to the Lord, and this is how it sounds for me. So it goes something like this. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. And singing God's Word has so many benefits to it. It does engage the soul in ways that just saying the words or thinking the words doesn't do. And it also provides such an aid in memorizing the Scripture. So I encourage you to sing the Psalms specifically to the Lord as a way of speaking to your soul. Tonight we move to the second passage, and that's Psalm 103. If you'll take your Bibles and go to Psalm 103, we'll begin there tonight. And Ken prepared us to think about this. This is a wonderful psalm for many of us, Psalm 103. And we learn from Psalm 103 that we must talk to ourselves when life is good. You wouldn't think that we'd need to self-counsel when life is good, but we do. Every bit as much as when life is hard. And why would that be? Think with me about this. What happens when life is good? When life is good, we're inclined to forget why it's good. We're inclined to forget the one who has made it good. And so we hear these words from the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What do I need to say to myself when life is good? According to the psalmist, two things. First, I must tell myself to bless the Lord, and especially His name. You'll notice the psalmist does this twice in Psalm 103. He begins verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and then drop to the end of the psalm. We won't have time to look through the whole psalm, but just notice how it ends with the phrase there in verse 22, bless the Lord, O my soul. So there are these bookends on Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what happens in the 21 verses in between is that's what he does. He's blessing the Lord, his soul. He's engaging his soul in blessing the Lord. And specifically, he is blessing the Lord. He blesses His holy name. What is His name? We don't see it in our English Bibles, but the psalmist just gave His name. Bless Yahweh. When he says bless the Lord, he is actually using the name of God. Now, of course, the Jews often avoided the name of God. They might substitute bless Adonai as opposed to saying the actual name of God. But he's certainly thinking, if not saying, the name of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless. And he uses God's covenant name. Bless the I am that I am who met with Moses at the burning bush and redeemed Israel out of bondage. The self-counsel to bless His name is counsel that says, remember who He is, O my soul. Remember, He's the one that chose our people and rescued us out of bondage in Egypt. He's the one who's entered into a covenant relationship with us. He is the Lord, and He is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. But specifically, bless the Lord. Let me back up to verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. There's none like Him. We bless Him because of who He is. He is holy. He's unlike anyone else. He's in a category all by Himself. And He's reminding His soul of this. But not just for who He is. It's also for what He's done. Bless the Lord, verse 2, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So what do I need to say to myself when life is good? I need to bless the Lord, and especially His name. And secondly, I need to remind myself of His benefits. It is so important to remember. It is so important to remind ourselves to remember. Because we're so prone to forget. We're so prone to take for granted what our God does for us, past and present. And the psalmist reminds himself of five particular benefits, and we should do the same. So, if you'll allow me to sing this, this is how I try to remind my soul of this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Forcing ourselves to slow down and remember what this God has done for us. In fact, what He's doing for us. You'll notice that the five activities are all in the present tense. He's doing these five things. He forgives our iniquity, all of it. If we're in Christ, there's not one sin that He holds against us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. He heals all our diseases, all of them. But wait, my soul says, how can that be? Sometimes God's people get sick and die, don't they? Yes, my soul. But what happens then? It's then that He takes His people, His children, to heaven. And they're not sick anymore. He either heals us, my soul, now, or He takes us into His presence and heals us then. But He always heals us. 10,000 years from now, we will bless the One who has healed all our diseases. So do that now, O my soul. What else should we not forget? This third benefit. He redeems my life from the pit, ESV, from destruction, Authorized Version. I see this in a couple of ways. First of all, when He saved us, He rescued us from the eternal pit of destruction, for which we certainly bless His name. But of course, the one who delivered us from the biggest pit, the biggest problem, continues to deliver us from other pits, other problems in our lives. The pits that we find ourselves in as we just navigate in this sin-cursed world, which means we have continual, ongoing reasons to bless Him, the one who delivers us. The fourth benefit that comes from our gracious God is a beautiful picture. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. The crown speaks of royalty. You put a crown on a king or on a queen. This is what God does with us, my soul. How does He do it? Well, He puts something on our head. He puts His loving kindness and tender mercies, Authorized Version, on our heads. That is, He doesn't treat us as we deserve. To the contrary, He delights in always being kind and gracious and merciful towards us. How many meals did He provide for you in the past 7 days? How many enjoyable conversations did you have with family members and friends? Did you experience anything pleasant in the last week? Read any good book? Enjoy the beauty of watching the snow fall? Why did we experience those and dozens of other blessings? The answer is they all came from Him, and they came from Him specifically because He has chosen to crown us with His unfailing love and mercy. And for this we say, O my soul, bless the Lord. And one more, He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Some of us have been experiencing this so long we forget what it used to be like and what it is still like for multitudes all around us who are not satisfied. Our God satisfies us. He satisfies us with good things, says the King James. And the outcome of all this is renewal. He renews our youth like He does with the eagle. Psalm 92:14 says this about God's people. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness with Him. So God's people can stay fresh and green, bearing fruit in old age. When God sends a blessing our way, then, what should we do with it? Think about that. When God sends good things our way, what should be our response? Well, obviously, the first response is we ought to enjoy that good thing. A Father that loves us gave us this gift because He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us then to use that blessing for His glorious kingdom purposes, encouraging, ministering to other people. But here's one thing we must tell ourselves never to do. Forget. Forget not all His benefits. What happens if we don't? What happens when we fail to remind ourselves of these benefits? What happens is that we become self-sufficient and smug and complacent and proud and stale. And I tell you, when we become that, we are not a joy to be around, and we are not a pleasure to the Lord. Can Christians become this? They certainly can. When they stop speaking to their soul and stirring up this remembrance that all these things that we're enjoying have come from Him, and forget them not, oh my soul. Don't let that happen to me in 2022, oh my soul. Next, we learn from Psalm 104, the very next psalm, the third O My Soul passage, that we must talk to ourselves when God seems small. It's interesting what happens in Psalm 104. Notice that the psalmist begins by saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." He tells his soul to praise the Lord, and then he takes heed to his self-counsel in verses 2 through 34. He praises the Lord, not just with his mouth, but with his inner being, his heart, the unseen soul. It's interesting as you look at Psalm 104 to notice the pronouns. He starts with the pronoun, first person pronoun, my, in verse 1a, and he moves to you in 1b, directly addressing the Lord. Then he moves to he in verse 3, where he begins to talk about the Lord. And then he goes back to you, verse 6, as he talks directly to the Lord. And then verse 18 back, or 19, back to he. Verse 20 back to you. Verse 31 to is. And then verse 33 back to I. It's interesting how the psalmist does this. He's talking to his soul as he begins, then he talks directly to the Lord, and then in his psalm he talks about the Lord, and then he talks to the Lord, and about the Lord, and to the Lord, and about the Lord, and then he talks to himself again as he finishes the psalm. This is so instructive for us. There should be this variety in our conversations that are happening as we talk to, oh my God, and, oh my soul, and eventually, oh my people. Now, I say that we must talk to ourselves when God seems small. Why do I use that as the sort of the summary of Psalm 104? I say that when I look at what he's doing here. Why is he doing this self-talk in Psalm 104? We don't know exactly what was happening in the psalmist's life, but I do know this. I know that he was facing the same challenge that we all face in living in this world. And it's captured in the title of the book that Ed Welch wrote a few years ago, When People Are Big and God Is Small. God is big. There's none greater. But we can't see him. And we're prone to allow other things, frankly, tiny little specks of things when compared to him, become great in our eyes. Could be people, could be a job. Could be a relationship, could be a lot of things. But we become so fixated with it that this great God becomes small. So what should we do? The psalmist shows us that what we should do is talk to ourselves when God seems small and talk about two vital subjects. Number one, I must tell myself to praise God for his greatness. Verse 1, verse 35b. Tell myself to praise God for his greatness. That's what the psalmist is doing, basically, in the bookends of this particular psalm. Praise God for his greatness when people seem to be great, or something else seems to be taking the place of God. And then, secondly, I must tell myself to reflect on his great works. That's what he does in verses 2 through 35a. The psalmist takes these 30-some verses and he slows down and calls upon his soul to praise God for his greatness and reflects on his great works. Oh, how important this is. And here's a specific reason. When God is small, when God is small in our thinking, what happens when we pray? For most of us, what happens when we pray is that we start talking to God, and then we quickly move to other things. This particularly happens when we're hurting, when we're struggling. We start to pray, but then we begin to rehash the painful situation we're in, and we try to solve the problem in our own heads. It's kind of like a broken record, and it might sound like this. Lord, I really need your help right now. I don't know how we're going to make it this month. The bills keep piling up. And you know the kids keep fighting, and where is that water bill anyway? And why was it so high this month? Maybe we've got a leak somewhere. I need to get to the hardware store and fix that leaky faucet. And maybe this timeout chair thing isn't working like it used to. I guess it's time to start grounding the kids. Oh, well, thanks for listening, Lord. Amen. Honey, has that toilet been running all night? Isn't that kind of how our prayer lives go? We start talking to God, and then, because he's not really that big, we start really thinking about the problem and trying to solve it in our heads. And here's the simple principle. Often, we're just not ready to talk with God. We need to take about 30 seconds and do what the psalmist did at least two times in this prayer, Psalm 104. He talks to himself to rouse his soul from playing that broken record again, so that his prayer conversation will truly to be to God and about God
rather than a rehearsal of the problems that he's facing. It's just a principle, simple principle that's really very helpful. We're not ready to say, oh my God, without taking just a few moments to say, oh my soul, and stop that train from derailing like it has tended to do in the past. The fourth psalm that we see is Psalm 62. Let's go back to Psalm 62. Again, my goal isn't to develop these psalms as much as just to talk about what's happening in them, that we might take heed and learn how to speak to our souls accordingly. In the fourth psalm, Psalm 62, we learn that we must talk to ourselves when people attack us. I want you to notice in Psalm 62, verses 5 to 7, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God." Again, for the sake of time, we're not going to develop this psalm other than to say this. The psalmist was hurting when he wrote this. And he was hurting in part because people were attacking him. How did he deal with it? Well, he talked to his soul. You'll notice I say they were attacking him. Verse 3, "How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence?" He's being attacked by people. And it hurt him. He was struggling with this. And he's not ready to talk to God while he's fixated with what people are saying about him and saying to him. And so he addresses his soul, "For God alone, O my soul," verse 5. So how does he deal with this problem? He talks to his soul and then to God about it, as we must. He basically says two things. I must tell myself, one, to wait in silence for God alone, verse 5a. Two, I must remind myself that my hope comes from God, who is my rock, verses 5b to 7. I've already put myself out there doing something I don't really feel all that comfortable doing, as singing to you. I'm not all that comfortable doing that. I do that because I believe God would get honor, and hopefully it'll encourage you to do the same. That's been so helpful in my own life. Here's the second thing that I don't like to do, and you know I don't do this very much, is make these kinds of confessions to you and these kinds of personal testimonies and stories to you, but I do this out of a desire for God to get glory and you to be equipped and encouraged and edified and helped as you apply these realities in your own life. I say this: Sundays are glorious days for a pastor. They are opportunities as well for the pastor to practice, oh my soul, a lot. I remember preaching one Sunday morning and heading to the back door to greet people, and a faithful member of this church approached me and tapped his watch and said, "Went a little long today, Pastor." I don't recall what I said to him. I probably just said thank you for the helpful feedback and reached for the next hand to shake. But I do recall the kinds of thoughts that began to flood my mind, like, oh yeah, if you just listen instead of dozing off, I could have finished sooner, since I wouldn't have to keep repeating myself. Not really. Actually, the conversation I needed to have immediately wasn't with that man. And frankly, until I had it, I wouldn't be much company to my wife and kids that afternoon. I needed to have an oh my soul conversation. On another occasion, I was at the front door. This was as people were coming to church, and a man said to me, "We differ over a very fundamental reality." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I think your ministry here is done, and you obviously don't agree with me." And he said, "Look at the attendance. Look at the giving. If you were a baseball manager, you'd know that your time was done. It's time to leave." Again, the key conversation wasn't with that man at that point. The key conversation that desperately needed to happen was, oh my soul. It's hard when people attack you. The hardest season of pastoral ministry took place for a 2-year period 20 years ago. Lots of criticism, publicly saying things about me. And here is the most important conversation I needed to have when the criticism was fresh. Verse 5, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him." And I want you to know that that conversation was so vital. It wasn't that there were not other conversations that needed to happen, but this happens first. "O my soul, then O my God, and eventually O my people," but in that order. The psalmist is so helpful here. Frankly, it's the same conversation that you need to have, ladies, when you work hard to prepare a meal for your family and you hear the response, "I don't like this. Why don't you cook something that I like?" Or you men, when you pour your efforts into that job at work and then you're attacked and misrepresented, the first conversation that you and I need to have is always, "Oh my soul, why are you downcast?" And then, "Oh my Lord, I'm struggling right now. Please help me to respond in a way that pleases you, that's representative of your son when he was mistreated." And then, with these two conversations in place, it's time for, "Oh my people, we need to sit down and have a conversation about this situation." I learned this from the Psalms, and particularly we see this in Psalm 62. The fifth psalm, which is Psalm 116, if you want to head over there, is that we need to talk to ourselves when God delivers us. Psalm 116 and verse 7. "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." I like how the NIV puts it. "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." We sang this one as one of our scripture memory verses a while back. "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Notice the flow of the verse. "Be at rest once more, O my soul." What is the intended effect of God's care for us? Rest for the soul. What does this mean? A soul at rest is a soul that's no longer in turmoil. A resting soul is a trusting soul. It's like a weaned child. This is the picture that the psalmist uses in Psalm 131. In fact, hold your place and go look at Psalm 131. You don't see the "O my soul" in Psalm 131, but it's there. Psalm 131, just notice it's only three verses. Verse 1 begins with, "O Lord." Verse 3, "O Israel." So guess what verse 2 is going to be about? Notice the word "soul" in verse 2. "But I have stilled and quieted my soul." So before he's able to talk to the Lord and eventually give an exhortation to his people, he has to do some soul work. In verse 2, he does that. And this is what the psalm sounds like. "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." That's another way of saying I'm talking to my soul to get it to the place where it's trusting the Lord. And then, "O Israel, you do the same. Hope in the Lord." That's another way of saying, you become like a weaned child with its mother, with God, like I have been seeking to become from this time forth and forevermore. "O Lord, O Israel," and he has something meaningful to say to his people because he's quieted his soul and become like a weaned child. I love this. What's true of a weaned child? We're thinking of this with a grandchild that's approaching that stage. Before a child is weaned, baby wants mama because of what she can do for him. Give me milk. Change my diaper. Put a blanket on me. But once weaned, this baby learns that mama is more than a supplier of goods. She's a person who actually loves me. And I love her, not simply because of the things she does for me, but because I have a relationship with her. I am hers, and she is mine. This is the kind of soul work that the psalmist did in Psalm 131, and I think that psalm models what's supposed to happen when we do this, "Oh my soul," conversation. We engage in this kind of soul work every day. It's essential that we talk to ourselves. And then when God delivers us, we acknowledge His amazing goodness. And this is Psalm 116. A couple of insights. I'm permitted to ask the Lord to deliver my soul. That's verse 4. And 2, I must tell my soul to acknowledge the Lord's goodness when He does. That's verses 7 and 8. The next psalm to consider is Psalm 146. And we make our way there. And here we see that we must talk to ourselves when we're not sure who to trust. We must talk to our soul, to ourselves, when we're not sure who to trust. Psalm 146 begins, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Now that ought to sound familiar. That's about the way the Psalm 104 began. It's similar to the way Psalm 103 began. We've heard these words, but this is a different situation. So sometimes the same words come out of our mouths, but it's a totally different situation, as here. This time the psalmist is saying these words because he isn't sure who to trust. We know that because of the exhortation he gives in verse 3. Put not your trust in princes. When we're struggling with knowing who to trust, we need to self-counsel. And what should we say? Two things. I must tell myself to praise the Lord as long as I live, verses 1 and 2. When you've been burnt by people and you're not sure who to trust, you got to start right here. Oh, my soul, let's spend some time praising the Lord. And my soul, I'm saying this for you to hear, I will do this as long as I live. Secondly, I must remind myself and others that people will pass away, but He will always be there. That's verses 3 to 10. Friends, this is reality in a post-Genesis 3 world. The reality is at times we sin, and at times we are sinned against. And when either happens, we often end up with a sin-sick, troubled soul. But our God has given us precisely what we need. He has given to us the Psalter, which, think of it this way, is like a medicine chest for the soul. And in the Psalter, we find all this practical counsel on what to do in this sin-cursed world when we sin or when we're sinned against and our soul is in turmoil. I want to stretch this and take it to the next level, though, tonight, because I believe He's given us another source of medicine in this medicine chest. And this one, it's not inspired, as the Psalms are, but nonetheless very helpful. And it is your hymnal. For centuries, God's people have been doing the kind of soul work that we've been seeing the psalmist do. And some of them have written down their spiritual remedies. And let me just share some examples of this with you. For instance, a Swedish preacher, Carl Boberg, penned these words. They were later translated into English by a British minister, Stuart Hine. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art." Now, I know we love that song, but think about what's happening there. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee." He is talking to his soul. He's stirring up his soul to have thoughts about this great God. Here's another. In 1834, Henry Francis Light wrote this hymn, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. To His feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Evermore His praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the everlasting King." He's exhorting his soul to think about God, to think about what God has done for him. And he's identifying these activities that God has done for his soul: ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. It's almost like he was reading Psalm 103 there. Here's one by Joachim Neander in the 1600s. He wrote this, translated by Catherine Winkworth in the 1800s. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Come, all who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Notice how the song is moving through what we've been seeing. Praise to the Lord, O my soul, and then the invitation to O my people to do this with me. 1961, Timothy Dudley Smith, who served in the Church of England, wrote a hymn entitled Tell Out My Soul. By the way, I'm just giving you the ones that are in this particular hymn book, the Hymnal for Worship and Celebration. And this transcript will be online if you want to see the page numbers. They're in the notes here. But this one goes like this, first two verses. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of His word. In God my Savior shall my heart rejoice. Tell out my soul the greatness of His name. Make known His might, the deeds His arm has done. His mercy sure from age to age the same. His holy name, the Lord, the Mighty One. Again, tell out my soul. He's talking to his soul and exhorting himself to consider the greatness of the Lord. Here's one that may be new to you, but was written by someone that we love to sing his songs, Isaac Watts, around the year 1700. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Tell of His wondrous faithfulness and sound His power abroad. Sing the sweet promise of His grace, the love and truth of God. His very word of grace is strong as that which built the skies. The voice that rolls the stars along speaks all the promises. O, might I hear Thy heavenly tongue, but whisper, Thou art mine. Those gentle words shall raise my song to notes almost divine. You hear where he ended up on that? That's so beautiful. He's exhorting his soul at the beginning of that, and then he lands on this thought. Let me repeat that last little stanza. O, might I hear Thy heavenly tongue, but whisper, Thou art mine. Those gentle words should raise my song to notes almost divine. If I could hear God right now say, Brad, you are mine, that would exalt my soul to almost the heights of divinity itself. Charles Wesley gives this self-counsel in 1742. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. Oh, that's a great one. Arise, my soul, arise. In 1851, Matthew Bridges wrote this exhortation to his soul and ours. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark, how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Earlier I mentioned, Be Still, My Soul. Here's one called Be Calm, My Soul, written in 1959 by Gloria Rowe. He goes like this, Be calm, my soul, faint not with care, though burdens deep our hearts would tear. He is the Lord. All He commands, He holdeth me safe in His hands. Be calm, my soul, melt not in fear, though shadows dark press in so near. Yet in despair I see His light. Lead me, O Lord, with wondrous sight. Be calm, my soul, rest in Him sure. No wave of doubt His words endure. My longing soul is satisfied. He now leads forth my strength and guide. In each of these songs, we see the writers doing what we've seen in six Psalms. Speaking to your soul and reminding your soul of who God is and what He's done. And when you do that, you're then enabled to begin to talk to the Lord And then you're fitted and prepared to be able to go out and talk to the people that He's placed in your life. So, my exhortation, church family, let's resolve to make, oh my soul, a regular part of our vocabulary as we walk into 2022. And God will get glory. And we'll look back at the end of the year, and what we'll see is we had a lot of problems. We faced a lot of challenges, and we faced them differently than we would have if we had not spent time calling upon our soul, as the psalmist has exhorted us to do. Our Father, I thank You for the privilege we've had to open up Your Word tonight and to look at Your precious Word and this very practical counsel, exhortation that You have given us through these servants. In many cases, we don't even know who wrote the different psalms. And that doesn't matter. You wrote, had them write this for the benefit of Your people then and now, so that we might follow in their steps and make You the very center of our lives when we're going through good times and challenging times. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. I pray that You'll help us to do that faithfully. And we'll give You all the praise and thanks. And even now, we give You thanks for giving us this helpful guidance. I ask Your blessing upon Your people right now. Some of us right now tonight are in need of this conversation with our soul and then with You. Give us grace to do that. Perhaps some right now need to be saved. Some right now need to deal with bitterness or deal with the pain of a broken relationship or a past memory or whatever. Give us grace to speak to our soul, to stir our soul up into a right way of thinking that we might talk to You and eventually to others. And we'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, and the Lord bless you, and have a good week.